All right, open your Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus as we get into our topic for this morning. I'm doing a special sermon today on the election, so the title for our message this morning is Who Are God's Choices in the 2020 Elections? A scripture passage to start with is Exodus chapter 18. So Exodus 18, verses 19 through 23. Here is Moses, who is struggling because he's the only one doing the counseling and the judging of Israel, and Jethro, his father-in-law, comes along and says, "This is not good, what you're doing. This is not good. You're going to wear yourself out, and the people are getting frustrated because they're waiting so long to have you judge their issues between people." So here he comes with this suggestion, and this is the basis of how we know who to appoint, elect through election as representatives over us in our government. This is it. This is the basis. This is how we know who to pick. Exodus chapter 18, verses 19 through 23. "Now obey my voice," this is Jethro speaking, "I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God. And you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, now, look for able men, competent men from all the people." Here's the key: men who fear God, who are trustworthy, who hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it'll be easier for you, Moses, and they will bear the burden with you. If you do this, God will direct you. You'll be able to endure, and all this people also will go to their places in peace." Heavenly Father, we bow before your glorious throne today. You have created this country, as we've already prayed, this great nation carved out of the wilderness. It was your city set on the hill, as we've already said. It was to be a country where the gospel of Jesus Christ would be a light that spreads to all the nations. And it has been in so many, many, many ways, Lord. But the light has grown dim in Europe, and the light is growing dim in this country as well. The light of the gospel. And so, Father, as the world gets darker around us, we pray that we will be citizens of the light, citizens of the gospel, able to show to the world the truth of the word of God. And in that darkness, this light is going to shine bright and clear. And so we pray that you help us today to open the scriptures and to deal with this very hot topic, this very controversial topic that many want us to be silent over in terms of electing godly people, righteous people, just people as representatives over us in the government that we call we the people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's put the main point up. It's kind of a dangerous journey we're on today, but not really. We're going to talk about endorsing and talking about what people we want to encourage you to vote for, and we're going to do that bravely, hopefully, courageously. And so here's our main point. We are to vote for leaders who will govern according to biblical values. I know we live in a secular society, but we as Christians are commanded, just as I read, to vote for leaders who will govern according to biblical values. Biblical values, laws, and principles, biblical laws, biblical principles, in order for our nation to be spared God's wrath, because it'll come if we don't, and receive his blessing. Above all, we must put in place leaders who will do all they can to abolish the right to abortion, the single greatest evil our nation commits. Now, this is a sidebar. I don't have it in my notes, but it came up in a pastor's conference I was at on what, Tuesday, Thursday, whatever, this past week, kind of blur. But the discussion was, so what's the difference between a democracy and a republic? And I think we need to put that in your notes if you're taking notes today, and it's very simple. A republic is rule by law. A republic is rule by law. And what law are we talking about? Not laws that man makes up. It's law that God has established, the law of nature and the law in the Word of God. For example, the Ten Commandments. A democracy is essentially rule by a mob, whoever has the majority. So if a country is truly ruled by democracy, 51% decide that they don't like the Ten Commandments and that murder ought to be outlawed, then it becomes the law of the land. So that's a huge, huge difference. We are a republic, not a democracy. Therefore, in our republic, we need to have leaders over us who are leading by biblical values and laws and principles. Now, many will argue that this is something the church ought not to talk about. Politics have no place in the church. Remember, they said, oh, you can't do that, separation of church and state, so therefore you ought to be quiet. Don't bring it up. Well, let's do a little history lesson. And I'll tell you how this works in our country's history. This is not the current interpretation at all. The first mention of the separation of church and state was actually by a Baptist. Anybody have an idea which Baptist that was? It was the first Baptist in our country. His name was Roger Williams. Anybody ever heard of Roger Williams before? He founded Providence, Rhode Island. Rhode Island is a state that should have been Baptist, should have been biblical, kind of drifting left now. But anyway, back in 1632 or 1635, he used this phrase. The phrase was, there needs to be a wall. That's where that phrase came from. A wall of hedge or hedge of separation between the wilderness of the world and the garden of the church. He said this, any government intrusion or involvement in the church is going to corrupt the church. He's right about that. It's going to corrupt the church. So later on, this was 1635, Roger Williams believing that, saying that. Then in 1802, Thomas Jefferson had to write a letter. And that letter was written to some more Baptists. By the way, we're Baptists. So more Baptists. And it was a letter to the Danbury Baptist Association. And I need to quote Thomas Jefferson directly. Quote, because they're upset. You're going to put a state church as the state church governing all churches. And we want our freedom as Baptists. We don't want to be congregationalists. We don't want to be whatever the denomination was going to be. And so here's Thomas Jefferson's response to these Baptists. He says, I contemplate with sovereign reverence. This is Mr. Secular, right? Mr. Secular Thomas Jefferson. I contemplate with sovereign reverence that act of the whole American people which declared that their legislature should make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, thus building a wall of separation between church and state. If you don't know the First Amendment, you need to know the First Amendment. That's why we're doing all that we're doing. That's why we're involved in the lawsuit, which if you have questions about, we can talk about later. But as David Barton taught us very clearly, that Thomas Jefferson said that wall is a one-way wall. It's a one-way wall. Government cannot intrude into the church, but the church and its citizens, its members, have every right to influence Congress about morality issues and hold them accountable. And some would say, no, it's against the law. You can't speak on political issues. You gotta be silent about that because now it's the law. And so I reject, our elders reject, the notion that unless we keep our mouths silent on moral issues and the candidates who either hold them or don't hold them, we would be sinning against the government by violating the 501c3 law that was put into law by Lyndon Baines Johnson years and years ago for the purpose of muzzling pastors and putting a cork in their mouths because the pastors in Texas were speaking out publicly against this very, very immoral man. And he didn't like it at all. And so he changed the law, violating the First Amendment, and said that churches cannot, if they want their tax-exempt status, they cannot speak out on political issues, they cannot endorse candidates, they cannot do any of that. Well, first of all, it's unconstitutional. The 501c3 law is unconstitutional. So therefore, we don't care. Secondly, the IRS knows it's unconstitutional. Therefore, they have never taken any church to court because they know they would lose. And they won't do that in the future. And third, your elders don't care. We just don't care. The 501c3 doesn't benefit the church hardly at all, at all. And for that reason, we have earlier decided to reject the PPP. The payroll protection program, receiving free money from the government to pay salaries and utilities in our church. Why? Because free money always comes with what? Strings attached. We don't want anything to do with the government getting into our affairs. That's why we decided to do that. So thank you, Uncle Sam. You can keep your phony free money. Phony, because it's just printed up right now. So let's get into the issues. So you might want to take some notes. Number one issue, of course, is abortion. Abortion on demand. People say, well, you can't be a single issue voter. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. Oh, yes, you must. This is the single most important issue of our lifetime. Abortion on demand. So I have up here in my notes the two party platforms. And I know it's a bit tedious to read them, but I think I need to for your own benefit. So here is the Republican Party platform on the issue of the sanctity of life. The Republican Party says it is proud to be the party that protects human life and offers real solutions for women and strongly opposes infanticide. What an ugly thing that is. Oh, murder. Including specific support for the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. A human life constitutional amendment, wouldn't that be awesome? A ban on abortion at 20 weeks when unborn babies can feel a pain. A ban on abortion based on sex or disability. A ban on dismemberment abortion in which unborn babies are literally torn limb from limb. Oh, if you watch that, watch the movie Unplanned. Unplanned. Abby Johnson's. Oof. Abortion clinic safety regulations, they want to enforce those. A ban on human cloning and creating or experimenting upon human embryos, including three parent embryos. I don't know what that means. A ban on any sale of body parts and a ban on the use of public funds to perform or promote abortion or to fund organizations like Planned Parenthood. That's the Republican Party. Democrat Party is total opposite. Total opposite. They support repealing the Hyde Amendment because they want to allow government funding for abortion. They want to codify the right to abortion, put it into our law so that it can't be changed. And then they say Democrats believe every woman should be able to access reproductive health care services, including safe and legal abortions. That is an oxymoron. There is no such thing as a safe abortion. The Democrat Party will oppose and fight to overturn federal and state laws that create barriers to reproductive health and rights, and opposes current FDA safety restrictions on chemical abortion pills. Those are horrible. Watch again, Unplanned. Supports repealing President Trump's changes to Title X program that separate abortion from federal family planning grants. Well, let's put this passage of scripture up on the screen. Why are we pro-life? Because God's pro-life. God is pro-life. He gave us life. He created us. Psalm 139, many, many passages we could look at, but this one's my most favorite. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, for you formed my inward parts. I mean, every one of us was uniquely created, uniquely created. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth, which is a euphemism for the womb. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and your book were written every day. Every day, every one of them, the days that were formed for me as when as yet there was not one of them. So let's look at the candidates, because I'm going to do the issues and the candidates at the same time. Okay? So I want to say this as strongly as I can to our Facebook audience as well, to our audiences here this morning. I cannot say this in more serious and harsh terms. So even though it's softly said, I'd like to shout it to the world around us. If you vote for a pro-death candidate, then you are complicit. You are. You are endorsing the practice of abortion on demand. You are complicit in their sins as they make law because you voted for them, and God will hold you responsible and accountable on Judgment Day. Period. I said it. So where do our candidates stand on the issues? Here's a question that they were asked. Should abortions be banned after 20 weeks, the point at which an unborn child can feel pain? And I'd like stronger questions than that, but that's a good question to start with. Donald Trump, yes. Joe Biden, no. No, abortion should not be banned. Jason Lewis, yes. Tina Smith, no. Michelle Fishback, yes. Colin Peterson, yes. Should be banned. He's pro-life. Bill Ingebrigtsen, yes. Michelle Anderson, no. That's his opponent. Mary Franzen, yes. Carol Winner, no. So there you have it. There you have it. You can take my endorsements right from what I just said. Let's go to issue number two, biblical marriage. Biblical marriage. Huge, huge issue. What is marriage? Can it be same-sex marriage? Can it be polygamy? Can it be polyamorous relationships? Can it be any number of those things? Well, let's look at what the party platform has to say. Here's the Republican Party platform. The American family is the foundation of civil society, and the cornerstone of the family is natural marriage, the union of one man and one woman. Anybody want to say amen? Amen to that. We condemn the Supreme Court's ruling in Obergefell versus Hodges and urge its reversal, which allows same-sex marriage. And the Democrat Party will not speak on that in their platform. They remain silent on that issue. Let's go to scripture. Where do we get our biblical information about biblical marriage? It's right in the very first chapters of the Bible. And here it's repeated again in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 31 to 32. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, not his husband wife. Sorry. And the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, of course, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. So, no same-sex marriage, no polyamorous relationship, no polygamous relationships. Where do the candidates stand on these? Should people have their religious liberties protected? This is the question. Should people have their religious liberties protected if they refuse to celebrate a same-sex marriage, whether in the church or a bakery or any other business, photographers? Donald Trump, yes, protect them. Joe Biden says no. Jason Lewis says yes, protect them. Tina Smith says no, don't protect them. Michelle Fishback says yes. Colin Peterson says yes. Bill Ingebrigtsen says yes. His opponent, Michelle Anderson, says no. Mary Franzen says yes. Carol Winner says no. So there you have my endorsements. Except for Michelle Fishback and Colin Peterson are the same on that issue. I'll get to that in a minute. Let's go to issue number three. Biblical gender identities and roles. Biblical gender identities and roles. So what does the platform say about that? Interesting. Well, here is what the Republican Party says. We embrace the principle that all Americans should be treated with dignity and respect. Amen, amen. We support measures barring government discrimination because of one's views on marriage and family. Yeah, but supports the right of parents to determine the proper medical treatment and therapy for their minor children. Don't let that get in the hands of government or schools or school nurses. Oppose Title IX being used to impose a social and cultural revolution upon the American people by wrongly redefining sex discrimination to include sexual orientation or any other category. Opposes reshaping our schools and our entire society to fit the mold of an ideology alien to America's history and traditions. Amen. Opposes President Obama's Title IX transgender bathroom edict, saying it's illegal, it's dangerous, and obviously ignores privacy issues. I could give you the Democrat party, it'll take too long, but it's just the opposite of all of that. Just the opposite. So if you want to read that, I can give it to you a little bit later. Scripturally, where do we go for the answer to that? Well, it's easy. We go to Genesis again, right from the very beginning. Genesis 1. 26 and 27, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man, plural. Adam, by the way, means man, universal. In his own image, in the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them. And going back again to Psalm 139, let's put that up on the screen just for review. Psalm 139, I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. So did God make a mistake? Did God make a mistake when he made you? You should have been male when you're female, or you should have been female when you're male. Did God make a mistake? No, he didn't. So where do the candidates stand on this issue? Here's the question they were asked. Do you oppose public school policies that promote transgender ideology, or are you opposed to the Equality Act that wants to put it into law, all of this transgenderism? Donald Trump says yes, he's opposed to that. Joe Biden says no, he's not opposed to that. Jason Lewis says yes, I'm opposed to that. Tina Smith says no. Michelle Fishback says yes. Colin Peterson co-sponsored the Equality Act. Colin, what were you thinking? Co-sponsored the Equality Act, but when it came time to vote, he abstained. Chicken, sorry, but you are. If that's what you believe, then vote, because you sponsored, co-sponsored the bill. Bill Ingebrigtsen, yes. Michelle Anderson, no. Mary Franzen, yes. Carol Winner, no. Item number four, religious liberty. Item number four. Religious liberty. Here is the party's platform. Republican strongly supports the freedom of Americans to act in accordance with their religious beliefs, not only in their houses of worship, but also in their everyday lives, out in the world, in your business. Support it. Speak the gospel. I love it. Ongoing attempts to compel individuals, businesses, and institutions of faith to transgress their beliefs are a part of a misguided effort to undermine religion and drive it from the public square. They oppose that. We value the right of America's religious leaders to preach and Americans to speak freely according to their faith. The government is constitutionally, I'm glad you recognize that, First Amendment. The government is constitutionally prohibited from policing or censoring speech based on religious convictions or beliefs. Well, the Democrat Party is just the opposite. Again, I'll let you read if you want to. But they celebrate the paramount importance of maintaining the separation between church and state. Nonsense. That's a new definition they're trying to incorporate, not the old definition. It rejects broad religious exemptions for businesses, medical providers, social service agencies, and others, which means you can't have your faith at the hospital. You can't. If they're going to force you to do an abortion, they'll force you, if you're in a nurse or doctor, to do an abortion regardless of your faith. And it says, we will fight to enact the Equality Act. What is the Equality Act? It's a bill that would remove religious liberty protections and even force churches to violate their tenets of faith. Unacceptable. Unacceptable. So, what does the Bible say about religious freedom? I pulled up an interesting passage of Scripture to talk about religious freedom, and I want to bring up 1 Timothy chapter 2. Put that on the screen for me, Ryan, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Here's what Paul tells us to do and tells us why we are to do this. Very interesting connection. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, but especially this category, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead. Here's why we pray for them and what we are to pray for. Basically, we are to pray that they will stay far away from us because we want to lead a peaceful and quiet life. In other words, leave us alone. Leave us alone. Don't intrude into our freedom to preach the gospel. That's what he's saying, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, because it is pleasing in the sight of our God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So pray for the leaders that they will give us freedom to share the gospel and not invade or intrude on our freedoms to do what God has called us to do. So we ought to be religiously free. Plus, it's in the Constitution. Hey, how about that? It's in the Constitution. So let's get to some endorsements. It's easy for me to endorse. Again, I'm violating the 501c3, and I don't care. There are hundreds of churches just like us all around the country. If you want to send my sermon into the IRS, I invite you to do that. You're welcome to. Let's see if they come after us. Good luck. We'll take you to court. You'll lose. So I'm going to endorse Donald Trump for his policy decisions. You may not like his personality. That's okay. Sometimes I don't like the things that he says, but we're not voting on his personality. We're voting on his policies and what he's done. And God, why did you do this? But you used David once, an adulterer. Committed adultery with Bathsheba, got her pregnant, and then killed her husband to kind of cover it up. You used him in a mighty way. Wow, you use flawed people to govern your people? Amazing. Strange that you would do that. Yeah. Use David, use Cyrus to help Israel get back into their land. Use Nebuchadnezzar to protect a remnant, a faithful remnant. Those who left were God's faithful remnant. Those who stayed were killed. Solomon, wow. Use Solomon? 300 wives, 700 concubines? I can't even compute that. Flawed people, yeah. Well, anyway, that's enough of that. It's easy to endorse Jason Lewis. I don't know much about him, but I know his policies. He's diametrically opposed to Tina Smith, so I make that endorsement. Easy to endorse Bill Ingebrigtsen, a good man. I know him, as opposed to his opponent. Easy to endorse Mary Franzen. Easy to endorse Paul Anderson on my side of town. Easy to endorse Jeff Backer, by the way, as well. He's a little bit to the west of us, and he, by the way, is a plaintiff on our lawsuit, Jeff Backer. So pray for Jeff Backer. He's got a lot of opposition in the legislature. He is one of the plaintiffs. So there's four pastors now on our lawsuit. There's Jeff Backer, state representative, and the county attorney, I don't remember his name, of Traverse County, are the plaintiffs on our lawsuit against the governor. I want to thank Terry Larson 2 over here. Terry Larson 1's over here. Terry Larson 2's over here. Thank you for helping us with this. He's been working very, very, very hard at trying to stop the governor's illegal activities in our state. But what about Colin Peterson and Michelle Fishback? What about them? Well, Colin's pro-life. And that's kind of why he gets reelected every year, because he's pro-life. What about that? Well, I like all of Michelle Fishback's policies, but I like Collins' pro-life stance. But is his pro-life stance, comparing apples for apples now, is enough to get a Christian's vote? Here's some more facts. Who does Colin Peterson get his money from? Okay, you can kind of tell how a person's gonna vote based on where they get their money. So 98% of all of Colin Peterson's money comes from leftist liberal organizations like Act Blue or Blue Dog Democrats, or I can go on and on and on. 2% of his money comes from conservative groups like the NRA or the Minnesota Citizens Concern for Life. 2%. So 2% are conservative, 98% liberal. Perhaps more important than where he gets his money from is his voting record. Here's his voting record. He voted with Donald Trump 25% of the time in this last Congress, not the previous Congress, but this last Congress. And Donald Trump won his district, our district, covers the whole west side of Minnesota, the entire west side of Minnesota, all the way from north to south. Donald Trump won this district by 30 points, by 30 points. So you compare that, which means that Colin is voting against his constituents 70% of the time. Not good. Okay, here's some very hard words to the world, not to us. Well, maybe to us too, but to the world. A few words about the Biden family. Everything we have heard in the New York Post that they have revealed to the world and has now been verified as true regarding the emails found in Hunter Biden's computer that he carelessly left at a computer repair shop, kept by the FBI and hidden under wraps until the New York Post decided to reveal it to the world, which reveals now an enormous amount of corruption called grift. Grift means to obtain money illegally and illicitly from Ukraine, from Russia, China. Whew, wow. Tells me that in my 68 years of ministry and life of observing politics, there was no one in politics more corrupt than the Biden family, except one couple called Bill and Hillary Clinton. My honest facts. Therefore, I am saying publicly, anyone who votes for Joe Biden, having now seen the evidence of his massive corruption and his stance on abortion through the 9th month of pregnancy, and think this through, what makes that child any different in the 8th month, the 9th month, or even after birth? That's their logic. Let's kill the child even after it's born. That's what's coming out now. Means this. Again, you are complicit. If you vote for this corrupt individual, you are complicit in making America a sewer of corruption, baby killing, and a nation where Christians will be persecuted by God-hating Marxists who are taking over the Democratic Party. Can you live with your conscience? Can you? Are you ready to answer God for that obvious stance against his will? You will have to report on Judgment Day why you did what you did. My final word is kind of a correction, simple correction, final word. Some say if you vote for XXXYZ person, you aren't a Christian. I'm going to correct that just a little bit. Some say you can't be a Christian and vote for Joe Biden. That's incorrect. It needs to be qualified. The reality is you can't be an obedient Christian and vote for any politician who holds to the anti-God policies of the Democratic Party. You just can't. The Republican Party is not perfect. They're all flawed. The candidates are flawed. They're immoral people, as we all are. But the platform promotes godliness and a biblical worldview.